It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? It's a beautiful day to study the precious Word of God. And we're in the book of Romans today as we continue the overview, kind of a survey of the study of the book of Romans. We have studied it verse by verse in the past. When we finished it, I wanted to kind of bring out some of the great points that we had studied and kind of a review. It's been excellent for me. I hope that you've enjoyed it. And we're in the book, book of Romans, chapter 8, and we're going to begin reading with the first verse there. And so it is Romans chapter 8, verse 1 is where we're going to start reading today, and we'll enjoy the precious study. So while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to visit us, you can visit us at the location here, again, is 18th and Church Street. But if you would like to write to us, we'd love to have you visit. But if you'd like to write to us, it's Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us, 847-2717. And, of course, that'd be 217, 847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. If you would like to send us an email, parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com would be great. And so we'll look forward to hearing from you. And while you've had the time now and the opportunity to look this scripture up, we're going to begin reading now Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. For so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. We're going to stop there at that ninth verse and begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we can enjoy the study. It just, again, we're just doing kind of an overview here, Father, and I just want the folks to be reminded of all those wonderful verses of Scripture that we have studied in the past. And please that you could just guide and lead us through these verses of Scripture again as a review, as a repeat, because it's so important that we understand that we cannot keep the law, but you have. And that's what you did on the cross of Calvary, Father, through your Son Jesus, as you sent him here. As he died on that cross, he died a perfect man, not sinning once, completed the law in every way. But we see the wages of sin is death, and so he took all of our sin upon him, Father. We know that, and he died for us that we can live. So please, Father, just touch every heart today that they will experience the salvation that you have to offer. And the only way that can come is if they listen to the Holy Spirit today. They respond to the Holy Spirit. Please, that they will come call upon you for salvation, your Son for salvation. Please, please just speak to every heart now. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We enjoy, as we study these verses of Scripture, and we know that as we look at this first verse and we see the great text that we find, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And again, the original Greek reads this way, therefore now there is not even one bit of condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Not one bit of condemnation is remaining if you come by faith to Jesus. You've got to do that. You've got to have that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. It is wonderful when a believer realize that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life and power. Once you come by faith to Jesus, once you trust in Him as your Savior, you are born again, you're saved. Please, that you trust in the Lord Jesus. Trust that He would would come into your heart and save you, and He will, because His word is true. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a personal calling, a personal relationship that you have with the Lord Jesus. We need to understand that to learn the condemnation has been removed. That's what it's saying. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. None. So please, when you come by faith to Jesus, then we have taken on that place, that position. We are in Christ, Christ in us, and what a wonderful opportunity we have to walk each and every day. Now we are free from condemnation. The scripture verse here says, now in Christ Jesus. And so we need to understand that. And so that word, therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation, but we can speak that so clearly now in Christ Jesus. So we are now delivered from condemnation. The believer is absolutely and forever free from all condemnation. Absolute and forever. Both of those words there you need to understand. Absolute and forever. Every sin that you've ever committed or ever will commit is gone. There is no condemnation because we are sinless when it comes to our relationship with our God. And that's where the problem is. When there's sin there, there is no fellowship whatsoever with our God. We must trust in Him for salvation in order to enjoy the peace and the joy that comes being a believer. The only way that can come is for us to trust in Jesus as our Savior. If we ignore that, I don't know how many times you hear me say this if you continue to listen to this program. The reason that I repeat it is because it is of necessity that you understand that you must come by faith to Jesus and trust in Him. You've got to do that. It's the only way to have your sins forgiven. It's the only way to have the peace and the joy and the wisdom that God has to offer is to accept Him as our Savior. So please, this is the result of believing the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, placing our trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the work upon the cross of Calvary as He hung on that cross. He shed His blood on that cross. He died on that cross. And then 3 days later, come out of that grave victorious, the gospel. Oh, please trust in our living God, the one that died for you and me and rose again. This faith has been given or bestowed upon the believer as a form of righteousness. We possess the righteousness of God when we come by faith. And so this, by trusting in the Lord Jesus, we receive His righteousness. And by receiving His righteousness, now, and it's not just a righteousness that you and I can possess. It's a righteousness that God hands to us, gives us. He has paid the debt. We believe in Him. We become in Christ. Don't miss that. And there is nothing that can destroy this righteousness. You know, if it's self-righteousness, then there's a lot of things that can bend and break that that level of righteousness, when it's self-righteousness, self-made. This is not a self-made righteousness. This is a righteousness of God. God gives it to us, and we are to possess it and to hold it forever, and it's His righteousness. And so, again, nothing can destroy this righteousness. God's own righteousness is imputed unto the believer at the beginning of his Christian experience. And so we receive this the day that you're born again. When I speak of that Christian experience, that is I don't want to confuse you, because a lot of people talk about the experience they had. What I'm talking about is the day you met Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about some time that you had this heavenly vision and you had this experience. No, I'm talking about the day that you recognized that you're a sinner and you're lost and you need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. That's what we're talking about. That's the experience that I want you to have. That's the experience that God wants you to have, that will take away your sins, and you'll receive this righteousness never to be taken again. And so, please, we receive that the split second that we trust in Him as our Savior. So don't misunderstand that. Again, this happens the very second that you believe, that I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The second that took place is the second that we were given His righteousness. And it says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so we, as believers in Jesus Christ, turn. We change our direction, because all of a sudden now, for the first time, we have a Spirit of God inside us, a strength, a drive inside us to do what God wants us to do. We desire to please God and to fulfill His word, to do His will. We have a desire to do that for the first time. The other, prior to salvation, we try and we want to look good, but now we're not pleasing man, we're pleasing God. And that's what changes the day that you meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we do not walk after the flesh anymore. For the first time, we have the power to have victory over the flesh. Now we're walking in the Spirit, because the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is in our heart, because we've come by faith to Jesus. This is not a condition for being saved, but a fact concerning one who has been born again. In other words, when you trust in Jesus Christ, we receive this righteousness, and this righteousness stays with us forever. And if we choose to reject the Spirit and walk after the flesh for a period of time, which almost everyone does, that does not mean that we've lost our salvation. That means we've lost our fellowship with our God, our fellowship with other believers. That's what takes place. So please understand the need to be born again and begin that wonderful walk. The higher and more powerful a joy that we have, as it looks in verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Higher and more powerful, the law of the Spirit of life. And so once again, I'm going to read that second verse of chapter 8. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. There was tremendous victory that has taken place when we meet Jesus as our Savior. The believer is delivered and made free for two other laws. We are freed from them, the law of sin and the law of death. We are set free. Now, if we go back to the chapter 7, we got some verses here very close for us to read. Chapter 7, verse 21, 7:21 in the book of Romans, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, but I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. You see, by coming by faith to Jesus Christ for the first time, we have the victory. We have the strength to walk with the Lord Jesus, to do what is godly, what is right. Now, we make attempts to do that before, but now we do have a God-given, God-driven power to do that and to have victory. We have for the first time now been set free from the law of sin, the law of death. That doesn't mean, as Paul here speaks, that he just fights all the time, and it is. That old devil and that flesh does not just lay down and die. It just keeps fighting. But we have a power within us that is stronger than that, and that is the Holy Spirit. And so as we look here and we find now in chapter 8, we find the believer discovers deliverance through the Holy Spirit abiding within, dwelling daily, minute by minute, in the heart. And so as we find that we need to enjoy that victory, we're going to look back here to 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. 1 John 4, 4. If you go to Revelation, you went just a little bit too far. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. 1 John 4, 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in you, the Holy Spirit. Please enjoy those verses of Scripture. Understand those verses of Scripture. So the Holy Spirit indwelling is much greater and more powerful than the spirit of the devil without. Because you see, the Holy Spirit is within, the devil's without. You know, it's always been a joy and a promise of the Word of God that when you are born again and you possess the Holy Spirit, He comes in the person, third person of the Trinity, comes, lives within your heart. When you have that, there is no demons can possess you. So the old devil has to stay on the outside. He can never come in again, never. And so please that you would come by faith to the Lord Jesus before those demons take you over. Don't let it. It's real. They're here today. Please look to that, because the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, is much greater and more powerful than the spirit of the devil that's without. The spirit of life delivers us from the law of death. Now let's look at some more verses back here in Romans chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. Romans 7, chapter 7, verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except law had said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived, I died. The commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. We have discussed this and enjoyed a great study in the seventh chapter of Romans. But we need to kind of look again and understand and remember that the law is perfect. The law doesn't, when it condemns us, it condemns us not because there's something wrong with the law, but because we can't keep it. The law is perfect. We're not. And so when we're faced with the law, and that's our judge, that's the one that stands before us, and when we're judged by the law, we lose. We need a Savior. We need someone that's fulfilled that law, died for us. We need to take care of our sin, and Jesus is the only way. So please, come by faith to Jesus and trust in Him. So even though the law of Moses was in itself spiritual, holy, righteous, pure, and good, it became to Saul of Tarsus, which is Paul here in Romans, it came a law of death. To Israel, it was a yoke which they were not able to bear. And we find that back in the book of Acts, Acts 15:10. Acts 15, verse 10, "Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear?" You see, they were trying to bring us back under bondage and under the law. And no, it can't be. And so please that you realize that it's a burden, a yoke that cannot be carried. And the law of Moses in itself is spiritual, is holy, is righteous, is pure, is good. Everything is there. Where's the problem? Me. I'm the problem. That's where the problem is at. And so as we enjoy looking at these verses of Scripture, we see once again, as I read verse 2 again and then on into verse 3, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, that in it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." When we as believers yield to the Holy Spirit of God, we are delivered from the law of death. But there's a key word there, and that word is believer. You must come by faith to Jesus. You must trust in the Lord Jesus. By faith, be a believer in Jesus Christ, that He is your Savior. Please, don't miss that, because you can have the wonderful opportunity of deliverance. As we look again at this third verse now, "For what the law could not do, in that was weak through the flesh." For what the law could not do, the law of Moses was unable to produce in man perfect obedience. The holy law demands this. It demands perfect obedience. Can't do it. No one can. We need a Savior. The law demands what the flesh, what man cannot produce. The law could never produce justification, yet the law demands it. Perfect obedience, perfect purity, perfect righteousness. That's what the law demands. We can't do it. We need a Savior. We have a Savior, Jesus Christ. But you must call upon Him for salvation. The 20th verse of chapter 3. "There by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." What brings us into the realization and the acknowledgement of sin is the law. The law shows us. It shows us exactly who we are. And it's an ugly thing to look at when you really look at the sin. And you see the result of sin. The result of sin is all the sickness we have. And that is not necessarily because of something that individual did, the cancer or heart trouble or whatever the case might be that they have that makes them so sick. Sometimes it can be something that they have done that's caused this. An alcoholic, a longtime smoker. The folks that do those things will have breathing trouble. Will have trouble with their body from their liver on, and then not to mention their actions because of what alcohol does to you and your system. And so some of these things you bring on yourself. Maybe it causes a car wreck. And all of a sudden you've hurt yourself or hurt somebody that you love, and you say, why? Well, I'm going to tell you why. It's because of that alcohol. So some of this stuff is self-inflicted, but much of it is not because of something we have done that's caused it. It is because there is sin in my life, and I was born in sin. And sin brings corruption, and that's what's happening to my body. It is deteriorating. And so, again, please, trust in Jesus. We're going to have a new glorified body at some point in time, but right now, we're still having to live in this old house. And so what we can possess is the love and the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ as a believer in the Lord Jesus. And so the law was weak through the flesh because, you see, it had to address, it addresses the law through a corrupt nature. We're corrupt. So how can we go from corrupt to perfection? We can't. We need something, someone, to resolve this. And Jesus has taken care of that for us. Died on the cross. Please accept that gift, that free gift of salvation. The law itself was not weak, but it was powerless on account of the flesh. The law is strong, the law is mighty, the law is perfect. But when you compare it to us in the flesh, then we're nothing. Because of the flesh. The law itself was not weak, but it has no power. The law has no power to come in and cleanse out this filthy, sinful flesh of mine. It can't do it. It has no power to do that. The law is the law. It shows us who we are. But Jesus does. Jesus died on the cross to save you and me. So please trust in him. The law is holy and just and good. How could sinful flesh obey a holy, sinless law? Can't. So what the law could not do, God did. God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. He came down. And the key word is likeness, because he took on the body of a man, but different because it was the virgin born was not the seed of a man, because the seed of man is where that sin came and was will go from one generation to the other, is the seed of the man. And so the Holy Spirit came down to Mary and was the seed, gave this child the opportunity. It was the beginning of a child, and that child became born and was Jesus. And don't tell me that it's, you know, it's a fetus, because you're lying to yourself. It's a baby from conception on. It is a baby, and Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, not fathered by man. So now we have a perfect man, Jesus, the Son of God. He fulfilled the law. He satisfied the law. The wages of sin is death, because sin, the law condemns sin. And the wages of sin is death. So it had to be taken care of, and Jesus did. My dear friend, it's wonderful to go through the Word of God. Call upon Jesus. What are you going to do about Jesus?